Philippians chapter 3. As we look in the word of God. Verse 15, let us therefore as many as be perfect, be thus minded. If any man, if in anything ye be otherwise minded, God shall reveal even this unto you. Nevertheless, whereto we have already attained, let us walk by the same rule, let us mind the same thing. Brethren, be followers together of me, and mark them which walk so as ye have us for an example. For many walk, of whom I have told you often, and now tell you even weeping, that they are the enemies of the cross of Christ, whose end is destruction, whose God is their belly, and whose glory is their shame, who mind earthly things. Let the church say amen. Father, add thy blessing to the reading of your word. Cleanse me of sin, empty me of self, and fill me with your spirit. Help me to be a blessing. Help me to be a blessing. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. Thank you for standing. Remember, as we've approached the subject of joy from the book of Philippians, we've dealt with it as it pertains to our minds, our focus, our perspective, the way we think, the way we function. We have said that in order to have joy, you need a single mind. In order to have joy, you need a submissive mind. In order to have joy, you need a spiritual mind. You're not going to have joy being carnal, because joy comes from God, and God does not bless us with spiritual things when we live in a fleshly way. So we understand the spiritual mind. We've been dealing in Philippians chapter number 3. And Paul has been telling us how everything changed when he met Christ. And we saw those great verses, verse 7, 8, 9, 10, all the way down through verse 14. And he talked about what he wanted to do now that he'd met Christ. He wanted to know him, and he didn't want to be content with how he was, and he was striving to do better, and he was giving it all he had. And he finished that section by saying, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus, emulating a runner, if you would. And he said, there's a finish line, and I'm going to get to the finish line one day, but until I get there, I'm going to give it all I've got. And by the way, God deserves all we've got. Amen. But he finishes that section, verse number 15, in what I've entitled, All In. Because he's going to address the entire body of Christ. And in so many words, say, if we're going to accomplish this spirit of unity and togetherness, you don't have unity by getting the whole group to do the same thing collectively. You have unity by getting individuals to do the right thing, and then collectively we move in the same direction, because all of us are in. Listen, a church can't go where it needs to go unless everybody decides we're in. Those verses that he dealt with, that I might know him. You know what he's saying? Every man, woman, boy, or girl needs to say that I may know him. Those verses where he says, not as though I'd already attained. Every member of Crossroads Baptist Church has got to say, I've not attained. Nobody can be satisfied with himself. Those verses where he said, that I may apprehend that for which also I am apprehended of Christ Jesus. Every member in Crossroads Baptist Church needs to be purpose hungry. Come on, purpose hunger. I don't care how weighed down you are, how stressed you are, how difficult things are in your life. Don't let the affairs of your life rob you of your passion for purpose. Even on your bad day, God left you here for a reason. Somebody say amen. All in. Forgetting those things which are behind, all in. We need every member of Crossroads Baptist Church to learn how to decide to put the past behind you. Some of you can't move forward because you can't get past your past. You got to get, listen, I messed up. Who didn't? I failed. Who didn't? I've got some things I regret. Who doesn't? But you're still alive. You still got oxygen in your lungs. And God's not finished with you. Somebody say amen to that. God's not finished with you. He's still working on me, the songwriter said, to make me what I ought to be. It took him just a week to make the sun and the moon, the moon and the stars and Jupiter and Mars. How loving and gracious, patient he must be. He's still working on me. Something like that. All these people that work with kids, they're helping me out here. How many of you know, most time you remember the beginning and the end of the song? The first stanza and the middle stanza. Pascal leads the third stanza, y'all going, okay, because most of the time we don't know the middle. But thank the Lord that the gist of the song is he's still working on me. And he is. He is. In six days he made the whole earth. But he's still working on me. I'm glad about it. All in. I press. Everybody needs to press. Everybody, all in. Everybody. We can't have hard-working Christians, hard-working church members, and then lazy church members, and those that are giving everything, and those that are hardly giving anything. Listen, here's what he's saying. If we want to have joy and we want to have unity, everybody's got to do this thing. Let us walk by the same rule, mind the same thing, be thus minded. Everybody that's perfect, meaning mature, be thus minded. But he says, if you're not thus minded, become that way. If you're not where you should be, get where you should be. Amen. So that God can use you. Walk by the same rule, mind the same thing. He addressed faithful people with a consequential exhortation, but then, if you would, with a Christian example. All in. Here's the exhortation. Come on, let's do it. But the example is verse 17. Be followers of me. Does it seem a little presumptuous? for the man of God to look at the people and say, hey, follow me. By the way, don't be guilty of equating false humility with self-degradation. Okay? Don't think that when God says he wants you to be humble, he wants you to walk around and say, I ain't nothing, I never did anything, I'm never going to do anything. I'm just, weak, wretched sinner that God. No. That's not humility. That's insecurity. That's borderline pity party. Okay? Humility doesn't mean that you can't invite people to follow your example. Humility means you can have people follow your example. Just make sure while you're telling them to follow you, you tell them where your strength comes from. Listen, follow me. He says, I am willing as a child of God to set myself as an example and to invite people to follow me. Other than the word of God, the Holy Spirit of God, the truth of God's word, I don't know of anything that is more motivating to me as a Christian than being accountable to people that are following me. I'm saying if you want to grow, get somebody you're teaching. If you want to push yourself to do better, then tell somebody else to watch you. Some of you didn't hear that. Some of you are going to spend your entire Christian life watching somebody and praise the Lord for it. Watch them long enough to get where you need to be and then let somebody watch you. I'm asking you a question tonight. Is there anybody on planet Earth whose spiritual livelihood is contingent upon your Christian testimony? Listen, ultimately we look to God. We look to Jesus. He's the author and the finisher of our faith. We don't crown people as idols. We worship nobody but Almighty God. But there's something biblical, there's something logical, there's something spiritually healthy about men, women, and boys and girls who are in sync with God and bold enough, real enough, authentic enough, and genuine enough to say, I'm following him, you follow me. And I'm willing to invite you deep enough into my Christian experience and know you're not going to discover something that embarrasses Christ. That's a challenge. That's a challenge. But Paul said, I'm willing to step up to the challenge because I know that Christian people need Christian examples. Is anybody here thankful that God not only gave you a Bible, but he gave you somebody who lives it? And I'm not talking about me. I'm just talking about whoever in your life God has used. Some of you young Christians can remember when you just tasted and saw that God was good. I mean, you hadn't even fully digested your first dose of the gospel. You were wet behind the ears, just elated like a kid in the candy store that somebody told you the truth of the word of God, that you didn't have to go to hell. And that Jesus' blood can wash away your past, present, and future sin. That ain't a fairy tale. That's Bible. And somebody told you that heaven was real and God was going to let you in based on a ticket that Jesus purchased for you on a place called Calvary. And you found out it wasn't too good to be true. It was good and it was true. And you got saved and you were excited about it. And now you're in the family of God and you got these 66 books and you're trying to read half of them. You can't even understand. And you're listening to preaching that seems way too big for you to accomplish. And you're watching spiritual heroes like, how in the world do you do it? And right alongside the truth of the word of God, God gave you somebody that you can fasten your eyes on. When you read your Bible, you can look at them and see the same thing. A Sunday school teacher, a discipler, a deacon, a pastor, somebody who poured his life into you, a bus captain. And you're closer to God because you followed that example. Now I'm asking you, not if you've had it, I'm asking you if you are it. Is anybody helping you get to Jesus like somebody helped you? Are you helping anybody get to Jesus like somebody helped you? I think sometimes I just get tickled when I think about the people that poured into my life, the people that invested in me, the people that trained me, the people that taught me. I mean, beginning with my parents and my youth directors and Christian examples and many in this same church that I looked to, and it motivated me to say, Lord, the way this person has shown you to me, I want to show you to somebody else. You know, there's a healthy liability that comes alongside being an example that motivates us as Christians not to fail, because if I'm driving the ship and it sinks, whoever's riding with me goes down too. Now, if you want to live safe, don't invest in anybody. You listening to me? Be one of them island Christians. You come to church, get what you need, you eat by yourself, you roll with yourself, you fool with nobody else because you love Jesus, Jesus know you love him, and you don't need nobody else around. Listen, live that way. But I'm telling you, if you live by yourself, you are going to set yourself up as an easy target for the devil, because the lion loves to snag the sheep that's alone. So you can live that way, but I'm just telling you, you're trying to avoid getting hurt by people by being by yourself, and instead you're going to get more hurt by the devil. Get around somebody that loves God. Let iron sharpen iron. And then determined by the grace of God, I'm going to find me somebody serious about Jesus. When I wake up every morning, before I can even get out of bed good, there are about 9 young men that are waiting for a word from the Lord from me. You know what it forces me to do? Go get one. Pastor, I just never can seem to get a word from the Lord. I tell you what, when you got some sheep that are coming up to your door, who was it? I think it was Rodney Jr. was telling me, Yana done started putting a little food out for a cat at the house, and now the cat come to the door every morning. Right? Isn't that what you told me? The cat getting on my nerves. But he said, I told you, Anna, if you keep putting food out, what you expect the cat to do? I tell you one thing, you get you some Christian people that are coming up to your door every morning waiting for food, I guarantee you, you'll learn to have some. My granddaddy used to come out on the front porch like this. Squirrels responded to that kind of sound. He'd cuff his hands like this. Here they be coming, sliding all up. They be coming up to him, I'd be running in the house. I don't like squirrels. I don't like squirrels, rabbits, rodents, gerbils, hamsters, ferrets, cats, birds, parrots, ducks, quail, redskins. I'm sorry. I don't know how I got off on that. Just slipped out. But you know that those squirrels knew where their food was coming from?
Yes.
And it was like they not only knew where to get it from, they were telling each other.
Yeah.
That old man down there on M Street got some peanuts. When you see us going that way, follow. Yeah. Has anybody come looking for spiritual food from you? If you quit on Jesus tonight, would anybody go lacking? I mean, if you, listen, there are some Christian people who can ride off into the sunset of backsliding and nobody would care. I've been missing church for months and months and nobody called me. Shh, you're indicting yourself. That's because nobody, people doing fine. I'm not saying that you're not important. I'm simply telling you, when you're somebody's main source of food and you're not around, I bet they'll call you. Follow me. Hey, Philippi, I'm chasing Jesus. Follow me. I'm a Christian example. I'm an inviting model, but not just him. He said, make an intentional mark. Don't just follow me, but mark other people that are living as an ensample. Every believer who is demonstrating Christ's likeness, spirituality, mark them. Mark them. Man, you see somebody on fire for God, put a mark on them. That's somebody I want to follow. Come on. Let's stop chasing people who don't want to chase God. Get in line behind somebody that's loving the Lord, that has a relationship with the Bible, that's serious about the things of God, that's got joy unspeakable and full of glory. Get in line behind somebody who's serious about the Bible and serious about prayer. Get in line with, walk with somebody that's walking with God. Amen. That's an example. He's talking about faithful people. Let me close tonight with all in. He didn't just address faithful people, but he also addressed false promoters. Now watch now. Here's what Paul's saying. You better figure out who's serious about the things of God and follow. But you better also figure out who's not. He said, because there are faithful people and there are false promoters. There are people who walk right and there are people who just talk right. And there's nothing wrong with talking right as long as you're walking right. But there's a whole lot wrong with talking right when you walk wrong. I wish somebody helped me preach. Now listen, he says, I want to talk about these false promoters. Now watch this now. Brethren, be followers together of me. 17, mark them which walk so as ye have us for an ensample. Because, why should you mark the people who are living right? Because, the word for, in parentheses, F-O-R, verse 18. Because many walk, notice what he says. They are the enemies of the cross of Christ. Listen, beloved, these false promoters had infiltrated the church. From great distances, they had traveled with a great designed, they had penetrated the body of Christ. Watch now, sitting right in the assembly in the church of the living God were people who were following Christ. Paul said, mark them and follow them. In the same church, there were people who were enemies of Christ. Who are they, Pastor? I'm not going to tell you who they are. I'm just going to tell you, watch out for them. I hope they're not here. But they're out there. I'm saying they're out there. Well, look very quickly and I'll get through this. They're a numerous crowd. Verse 18. For what walk? Many. Many. Watch this now. You don't have to look far to find phonies. They're a numerous crowd. Paul said, because of that, I have necessary concern. Here's what Paul's saying. Of whom I have told you often. Have your kids ever said to you, you already told me that? And you said to them, I know. I know. But some things bear repeating. Are you listening to me? Some things need to be told to us again. And so Paul says, I've got repeat talk to you. I've told you about them. I've told you about them. But here I am in prison and I'm telling you about them again. They are people who speak religiously. Their nomenclature resembles spirituality. They've got a vocabulary that sounds sanctified. They feign anointing. They know all the catchphrases. They memorize all of the biblical cliches. And here they are trying to latch on to other Christians. Paul says, I'm giving you repeat talk and I'm giving you real tears. I've told you before about them and now I'm telling you weeping. You ever wept over somebody you cared for who was being impacted by bad people? I mean, you ever had a son or a daughter or a close friend or a Christian brother who was being wooed by someone who was disguising his ill-natured motives with spiritually sounding language. And it brought you to tears. Oh, I've been there. Oh, good night. I feel like sometimes I'm there a whole lot more often than I'd like to be. Where you're warning people, stay away! Stop reading that stuff! Don't listen to that nonsense. Quit watching all that mess. You're watching them little by little change their position and move in their perspective and shift their doctrine. And after a while, you talk to someone who used to move in stride with how you believe, and now it's, oh, I've discovered otherwise. That's not even my name anymore. I got a different name that you can't even pronounce. But you better call me it. Because I found out that what I was believing all that time about the Bible wasn't true. No wonder he was weeping. He was in prison and he wasn't crying because he was locked up. He was crying because the people that weren't locked up in prison were locked up by heresy. Be careful when you start discipling someone. Their own actions will affect you emotionally. See, you start caring about someone, someone's soul. When they start moving the wrong direction, it hurts you. And you're screaming, stop! Son, daughter, don't go there. Don't fool with them. Don't date that person. Oh, I know what I'm doing. He's crying. My. The burden, church planner from a prison cell. I'm crying because I care. The necessary concern. And then lastly, the negative character of these individuals. I'll let you go home after this. What about them? Well, notice how Paul gives an infamous description of them. Enemies of Christ. I mean, ain't that pretty bad? Is it possible for people who talk so aggressively, religiously, to be enemies of Christ? Listen to me. We better quit this prevailing theoretical teaching that says everybody in hell is going to be these grave, immoral murderers and rapists. Some of them going to be going to go to hell straight from the church house.
Yes, sir.
Lying to the people of God.
Yes, sir. Wow.
Some of them going to go out of the pulpit into the pit.
Yes, sir.
And I'm not condemning any preacher, but I'm certainly not going to condone heresy. Do you mean it's possible for a man to make $1 million off of a spiritual book and lie to people and make money off of it? You better believe it. The love of money is the root of all evil. Somebody help me preach. I'm saying just because it's in the Christian bookstore doesn't mean every Christian needs to buy it. And I'm talking to you as a man of God. Don't you read after everybody. Don't you listen to everybody's preaching. Don't you go to everybody's call. You can get the Bible from somebody besides me, but you better make sure that somebody lines up with the Bible. And there's a reason why, when the church wasn't even planted for very long, that it was already battling false teachers. What makes you think, with all of the technology and all of the developments, that the world is going to continue to get worse and you are going to be sheltered from false teaching? Isn't it amazing? Understand sequentially that he began by admonishing them to mark people living right. And he used that as a reasoning to tell them, because others are living wrong. See, here's what he's saying. Your best defense from being misled by wrong influences is to embrace right influences. Get you a circle of people that will envelop you in truth so that when the lion seeks to penetrate you with heresy, he can't get to you because you're surrounded by truth. Somebody say amen. Stay in church. Stay. I'm saying everybody wants a click, and I'm not for clicks, but good gracious alive, if you're going to have you a group that loves Jesus.
Amen.
So when the devil comes looking for you on a platter, he'll find out he messing with the wrong one. Their infamous description, they're enemies of Christ, their inevitable destruction, their end is destruction. They're going to be brought to naught. Listen to me. The prospering, seemingly successful religious heretics in our world today who seem to be rising in success while they teach fallacy. Paul says, folks, don't drink the Kool-Aid. They may be going up now, but there's coming a time when that sugar is going to produce some spiritual diabetes. And listen to me now, you better stop running after people because they look successful, and you better run after people because they line up with the scriptures. Because if you link up with enemies of Christ, you're going to be linked with them when they're destroyed. He that walk with wise men shall be wise, but a companion of fools shall be destroyed. Their infamous description, their inevitable destruction, and lastly, their indicted desires. I'll not spend a lot of time on this. It says a lot about them, doesn't it? Notice what he says. Their God is their belly, their glory is their shame, and they mind earthly things. Them some bad dudes. Sensual passions, shameful pride, and secular perspectives. I remember what I said this morning. Now watch me repeat it nice and slowly. Sensual passions, shameful pride, secular perspective. Everybody got that? Now you can look up at me. Thanks to Kathy. There's a reason why they're enemies of Christ. They do what they do to feed their bellies. Not just with physical food, but sensual passions. Listen, listen. They want you because by getting you, they get more of what they desire. Whose glory is their shame? They are full of themselves. Good night. It breaks my heart that some of the most arrogant, cocky, self-absorbed people on planet Earth today are men of God. How do you balance being cocky and being Christ-like in the same person? You don't. You're one or the other. God is their belly. They want stuff. The more members, the more stuff they get. Their glory is their shame. Their pride is embarrassing. And here's what they mind. Earthly things. They are full of secularism. Here's what he's saying. Spirituality and secularism run in opposite directions. So anytime you find a supposed Christian who's full of worldliness, you don't have to spend any extra time studying. I'm still trying to find spirituality in them. You will not find spirituality in an individual full of secularism. You won't find the Holy Ghost control when the flesh is controlling. And I'm afraid, I'm finished, but I'm afraid of how much Christianity is trying to move naturally while being worldly. And how many churches are trying to package it as to make the people of God more conveniently appeased by not having to be too Christian without having the opportunity to be very worldly at the same time. It doesn't work, folks. And here's what he's saying. Mark them. Mark them. We've got to all be in, don't we? And if we get in with each other that are living right, then we'll get out with people that are living wrong. After all, that's how you have joy. Amen. Father, thank you. Thank you for the opportunity we have to learn the truth. God, I pray for the people of God who are being targeted by heresy. It's so pervasive. Sometimes hard to detect. It flies under the radar, but it is as deadly as outright nonsense. Help us. For those of us who have people we love that are under the pawnship, if we would, of enemies of Christ, we're praying that you would deliver them and give us enough Christ-likeness in us that when you do break them from those chains. They'll be able to see enough of you in us to follow and do right. And help all of us to commit in 2019 to pour ourselves into people to help them get to where somebody helped us get to. In Jesus' name.